We're there. Shalom lakulam hakul havarim. We are here live at Rishon Messianic Bible College. And
What I need?
Oh, nothing. I was going to show them one of the covers from the book, but I don't want to do that because then we might have to.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we are on one of my absolute favorite messages that the Lord gave me. And I think it's very interesting that God gave me 17 messages that he wanted me to teach in a Hebrew setting. Because these messages from Abraham the movie all the way to this one, which is one of my favorite, and this is called The Proven Trinity. And if anyone ever begins to argue that there's no Trinity and all of these things, you have this book and you have this lesson that you can always take them to so that they understand that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all one, okay? They are echad, okay? Meaning a group, one. They are one. Like my body is echad, right? I will make you in the image of God. So he made us body, soul, spirit in one, okay? That's the way that you are in the image of God. Okay, so we are an Elohim, as God is an Elohim, because we are made as a Trinity in one. It is very important that you understand that Jesus is God, because if you don't understand that the guy that came down to die on the cross for your sins was God, if you don't understand that, and you're accepting a Messiah that you say is not God, it puts you in the same category as a Jehovah Witness, even Muslims who also believe in Jesus, Mormons who believe in Jesus. Every religion believes in a form of a Jesus. Us as real Christians only have one problem with them, and that is the fact that we believe that Yeshua was God in the flesh. And they believe he was God the teacher, God the prophet, God the brother of Satan. All this thing. They give Jesus all these different titles, but they never give him the title of deity, being God himself. So we are going to get into that study today. And it's very important that we finish this study today, because the tests are going to go out, I think sometime this week, this weekend. The tests are going to go out this weekend. And you will be responsible for everything that we have gone over in this book. Yes, everything that we've gone over in this book, from Joseph all the way to the Proven Trinity. Okay, so we're going to open up in prayer, and I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I hope everybody has been able to log on today and join us in class. This second test, I'm going to pray about it, because after you finish this test, there's something special we have to be able to do for all the students. Of course, if we have within these 8 days of Tabernacle to finish the test and to get it all in. But this right here is a special. This will help you when you get to heaven, this test, because you won't like raise your hand and somebody say, you got a question? And you'll go, yeah, where's Jesus' throne? And then they'll have the angels escort you out to the teaching room. So let's get started. Let's open up with the Lord's Prayer, because the apostles came to him and said, hey, how should we pray? What should we say? And Jesus said these words. When you pray, say, Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yikadeshimcha, Tavo Mehuteka Yi Aserot Sanaka, Be Aret Ke Ashir Ne Asabe Shamaim, Tilano Hayom Lechem Hukenu, Usilaklanu et Ashmetenu, Ke Ashir Solekhem Anachnu Le Ashir Ashmelanu, Vial Tevieno Le Demasa. Keim hadzilanu min hara. Kilacha hamamlaka v'ha-givura v'ha-tiv eret le'olamei le'olamim. Amen. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefillim, and let's get started.
I have one question for you.
Yes.
Corey, Barbie, can Pastor Sandy explain why it says vein shaw?
Huh?
Vein, S-H-E-W.
Vein shaw?
Mm-hmm.
Who says vein shaw? What's vein shaw? Vein shaw.
Corey, Barbie, I don't know where they're coming with that.
Can I look at it? Can I?
Sure.
Let me see if I can see what she means by vein shaw.
Vein shoe. S-H-E-W.
Vein shoe. I don't understand that. Excuse me? If you go into, maybe find the Hebrew word for that, what they're trying to say, and then maybe I could tell you, but that doesn't.
Image in Genesis 1:27.
Image in Genesis 1:27. Oh, what image means? Or what the word image means in Hebrew?
She just said in
Genesis 1:27.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm gonna answer a question because we are in class. Okay. 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, in this, I don't see, well, I'm reading in English, and I don't think I have my Hebrew Bible, and I should have brought it with me today, but.
Yeah, they have some, like, H6754.
Yeah, I don't see a word vein shaw. It says, I would have to figure out what word. Is she saying this in 27? So God created man in his own image, in the image of God.
Eastward. E-S-W-O-R-D word.
Huh? Eastward? I don't know.
You probably just have to talk.
Yeah, you're going to have to email me that question because I can't figure out what you're heading to right there. So you'll probably have to email me that question, and then I'll be able to answer it for you. It may be something really simple. Okay, so what I want you guys to do is go to page 29 in your book. It should look like this. Yes.
Amen.
All right. Dios bendiga. All right. That's our Spanish minister.
Yes, it is.
He's studying for his test, huh?
Yes.
All right. Okay, now, on page 29, you will see what we have there. It says, proven Trinity. Oh, and it says, that's a Vav right there. That is a, wait a minute, Vav. Okay. Now, this is, in my Hebrew book called Wisdom and the Hebrew Alphabet, even though they have here the Shin written with three vavs, it is not three vavs that it's originally written in. It was three Zions, which is written in, and on top of the three Zions were crowns. Okay, you remember that, how I had to stop you guys from writing with the words with crowns on top of them? We all know that there are 21 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, right?
Amen.
What is the 21st letter in the Hebrew alphabet? Shin is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Shin is this letter right here, Shin. When you go to a Jewish house, you may see this letter sit on their door of their menorah or of their mezuzah on the door of their homes. And that letter is Shin. It stands for the original name of God, which is El Shaddai. And El Shaddai means all sufficient. So the original name of God is El Shaddai. Okay? We'll talk about how Yahweh became and Yahshua, all these names that were given to us to for a salvation purpose. But originally, God was El Shaddai. Mm-hmm. He was all sufficient, meaning that he didn't need angels. He didn't need praise. He didn't need people. He was all sufficient within himself. He was fine. He was happy all by himself. Okay, so I just want you to know that nobody is created because God was lonely. All right. But God, everything God created was out of love to be able to share what he had and who he was. Yeah. Okay. So El Shaddai, and I tried to bring my book. It's called Wisdom in the Hebrew Alphabet by Rabbi Monk. And it says that there are three heads on the shin. And the three heads on the shin are three Zions. And these three heads are would look something like this. Let's look up on the board with this. And you'll see here. Yeah, we'll let Pastor Ben adjust. Okay. And what you have here is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's made out of Zion, a Zion, and a Zion. Okay? I'm going to write those Zions more how they would look. Okay? Because it would have heads on top of each Zion. Okay? So you have three Zions. It's the 21st letter. So, of course, it's the 21st letter. 777 is 27. So El Shaddai would equal the 21st letter, which is 777. Okay? So because the letter Zion is 7. El Shaddai is the name of God's original name. So the all-sufficient one is not just one, two, but three sevens, infinity, or deity is El Shaddai. Okay? So in the letter system, God is already telling you that the 777 is one God, El Shaddai. Okay? Now, as we look at that, let's look at the book and we'll see what it says. The 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Shin. Is this what she was talking about?
It might be.
Okay? Is Shin. Okay? Shin is the letter that we're looking at here is the letter, the 21st letter, which is El Shaddai. If that's what you were asking for, then we're hitting on it. And Shin derives from the name El Shaddai, which means all sufficient. It is the 21st letter that is 777. Okay, and this is not by chance. God made sure that this letter, because El Shaddai is the letter that is on the homes in the mezuzah, because the house, what that house is not saying that this is an idol that we keep on our house. What that house is saying that El Shaddai supplies and provides for this home. That's what the mezuzah is about. It's not an idol. Right. It's saying El Shaddai is the provider of this home. Okay? Now, it says, Pastor Ben said he has one on his house. It says, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Is that by chance? No. We all know that. We've been in school. Because the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, it says we have 66 books in our Bible. Why? 22, 22, and 22 is 66. You guys know that. You're in review now. The root of the Bible is based on the Trinity. And the 22 letters God created to give us a perfect book authored by himself. Okay? So, with these 22 books, these three sets of 22 books, God gives us a perfect book. And in this book, he does miraculous things. We haven't even got to Gematria yet, because I don't think your mind is really blown until you get to Gematria, okay? Because then you just ask yourself, who has the time to make sure every letter and every number and every sentence and every code is perfectly placed. And how did he do this? You know, because if you got all the computers in the world, you still wouldn't be able to do what God did by himself. Okay? And that's the word of God. Okay, now I'm going to read this verse from our study book. And it says, John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Now, there would be absolutely zero argument of the Trinity if the Lucius Publishing didn't come out with the NIV and took this verse out of the Bible. Okay? Now, you can't have an NIV that's not printed by Lucius Publishing that replaced some of the scriptures that Lucius Publishing took out. Okay? So, I'm not saying buy an NIV. I read an NIV. I read all of them. American Standard, NIV. Whichever one comes closest to the Hebrew, that's the one that I'm going to read to you. Okay? So, or whichever one comes closest to the Greek is the one I'm going to read to you. Okay? But I have maybe seven different English versions of the Bible. Okay? I don't trust any of them. So I have my Hebrew next to it. But one thing that they did, and you'll read it here. It says, now this verse, which says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, is in the King James Bible. That was, the edition was in 1553 edition, and I have this, I have 16 something edition, but the 1553 edition of the Bible has the verse stating the Trinity. Wow. So if anybody says the Trinity is not in the Bible, take a King James and go to John chapter 5, verse 7 and say, these three are one. That's your Trinity. Now, if you have another Bible, maybe the American Standard, they may have taken this out, or the NIV from Lucius Publishing, they would have taken it out. But it is in the Bible. Because in 1968, Lucius Publishing came along and created the NIV. And it came forth, leaving out verses that many other verses they felt did not fit their belief pattern.
Lucius, okay. Short for Lucifer?
Yes, it's the same as Lucius Publishing, is the same as the banking system that they had. The whole thing, yeah, Lucius Publishing. So that's what makes people say, don't read the NIV, okay? I have one, and it is a Application Bible, but it's not from Lucius Publishing, so this scripture's back in there. Okay? Wow. So you got to understand that it's not the English publisher's job to study for you.
Right.
Okay? It's our job to study, and blueletterbible.com is part of this Bible study, because every scripture you can click on. And you can read the whole thing in English. It has like maybe 12 different English Bibles in Blue Letter Bible that you could actually read from. But if a verse is missing, you can go back to the King James and you can read it in Greek and see, was it in the original Greek? And it'll show you it was in the original Greek. This verse was in the original Greek. So after reading this, we should say, okay, the Trinity is in the Bible. We need not go any further, because John 5, 7 says that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one. We're done. Yep. You know, end of story. But no, since Satan is crafty and he knows he wants people to believe in Jesus, he just don't want them to believe that Jesus was God.
Right.
Okay? Because if Jesus is an angel, you got the wrong Jesus. Okay? Now, so let's continue reading here. John 5, 7 states that the Word, the Father, the Spirit are all one. As believers of Yeshua, it needs to be made clear that we do not believe in more than one God. God is one. We believe in one God, has manifest himself in three ways.
Yes.
Through his Holy Spirit, through his word, and through the Father, we also see that the Tanakh, God has manifested himself as the angel of the Lord, who was clearly God in all of his actions. So in the Old Testament, you read about another guy that keeps popping up in the scene in the Torah, in the Tanakh, and he keeps popping up. He pops up in, like, in the Torah, in the first five books. Then he pops up again in the Tanakh. And here this guy is called the angel of the Lord, and he's always popping up to do incredible things.
Yes.
Okay. And then we have to figure out, because the English interpretation says he's the angel of the Lord, because it says, but it never says angel, okay? Benah Elohim is an angel, okay? Melech Yahweh, or Melech Yahweh, is messenger Yahweh. So who's being sent to you is not of, it's himself. Messenger Yahweh is going to appear. So the Hebrew says, this is Melech Yahweh, and Melech Yahweh appeared. And then the English said, who's Melech Yahweh? So they looked up the word, and it said messenger. And then they looked up the other word, it says Yahweh. But it doesn't say messenger of Yahweh. It says, or it doesn't say messenger from Yahweh. It says he is messenger Yahweh.
Messenger.
He is Yahweh, and he's coming with the message. So God keeps appearing. And then when they see him, they realize, oh, my God, he's God. OK. And so whenever you're reading this thing in the Old Testament, it says the angel of the Lord appeared. OK. Now, I'm not talking about in the New Testament. I'm talking about in the Old Testament. Whenever it says the angel of the Lord appeared, watch what the angel of the Lord does. Because if he does some things that angels aren't even allowed to do, then you got to go, okay, that wasn't an angel, because an angel would not do that,
right?
Okay? Like, be worshipped. An angel would not let you worship him.
Right.
Okay? Except one, which is, he's really dumb. He's going, like, he's going to be, like, forever eternally condemned and in punishment. But angels don't do that.
Amen.
Okay. So listen to this verse from Job chapter 33, verse 4. It's in your book, towards the bottom here. It says, the Spirit of God has made me. Okay? And the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So here's Job saying that the Spirit of God is a creator. Okay? The Spirit of God is a creator. Wait a minute. I thought that that God created all things. Yeah, Elohim did create all things. Who's encompasses, who encompasses Elohim? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Job has no problem here saying the Spirit of God has made me.
Amen.
He created me, okay? And the breath of the Almighty gave me life, okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 1:26, it says this, and it says, let us make man in our own image. Okay. So now if you get to these theological seminaries, they're going to say, oh, it was God talking to the angels. Well, he never said, let us make man in the image of God and the angels.
Right.
Okay. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Okay. So God made man in his image and in his likeness. Now, what is the image and likeness of God? Elohim. What does Elohim mean? We should know that from the beginning. Bereshit bara Elohim. A I am on the end of a Hebrew word is what? An S.
Yes.
So are you saying God is more than one? You're saying God's, but is written. But if you read it in the Hebrew, you'll see that it is written as a singular form, but it is a plural word. Okay, so here is God, and he's Elohim. And then now I want to explain to you this, okay, before we move on. Watch this. Watch this. First three verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1, God. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. There's two, okay? So we now got God, the Spirit of God. Verse 3, and God said, how do you say something if you don't use words? Okay? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Who said that? That's words. So now the word comes out, and the word says, let there be light. So in the first three verses of the Bible, you have God, Holy Spirit, and the Word. And these three are, John says, they're one, okay? This is just the beginning of this message, so that when you're talking to people and you're trying to explain to them that God, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are one, and the only way they want to fight with you, but maybe there's a Christian that doesn't understand this, and this is hindering his walk, because he can't believe that Jesus was an angel, because then he could just worship angels. Okay? Now, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Okay, if you read that in the Greek, which is what we're supposed to do, okay, it will read exactly like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then it says, and the Word was God. So that you have no problem understanding that the Word was God. Okay? You go down to John chapter 1, verse 14, and it says, the Word became flesh. Wait a minute. The Word was God. So is it okay for me to say it, and God became flesh? Yes. Wow. Because John 1:1 just told you that the Word was God. Now, if you read a Jehovah's Witness book, you're going to say, and the Word was a God. And then it'll put little bitty G so that you understand that he was just this little bitty God thing. Well, there's only one God, okay? There's no little God and a big God. You know, there is God, okay? And in him is encompasses his Spirit, his Word, and the Father. They are all one, okay? Now, so it says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Now, if you read this, it will say, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. And in the Hebrew, it'll say he shekot amongst us, which is the same word tabernacle. He tabernacled with us. Okay? So he comes into existence during the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's when he began to tabernacle amongst us. This is why we got to celebrate his birthday. During the millennium, every year. Now I want you to turn your Bible over. I mean, you're not your Bible, but your workbook over to page 30. Because now we're going to get into a little bit more study about this guy, Melech Yahweh. Okay? Our God, our Lord and Savior, Melech Yahweh. Melech Yahweh always appearing and doing incredible things. Okay? Here we go. Okay, it says here, the angel of the Lord, okay? Melech does not mean angel, okay? And so we have to figure out what does Melech mean. Melech means messenger, okay? So there's no way in any English Bible that they're getting that properly written, because Melech Yahweh is messenger Yahweh. It is not the angel of, okay? Okay, so this is what it says here. It says, one sent a messenger, okay? Person, okay. Now, in Judges chapter 13, verse 1 through 22, you can read this incredible story. Listen to this. It says, the angel of the Lord answered. He says, your wife must do all that I told her. So what is this going on? Samson's mother goes out and she meets this guy in the field. And he tells her, you're going to have a son. And you can't cut his hair. And he's going to be a Nazareth from birth. And all of these things. And then she goes back and tells her husband, a man appeared before me. Now listen, he appeared as a man. So that means if God could appear in the earth without being birthed through a woman, what was the whole purpose of Mary? You ever thought about that? This is what you have to understand. When he comes into the world, he has to be a kinsman redeemer. That means he has to be related to us. He can't come into the world as a God manifest in himself as a man and be a kinsman redeemer because he's not related to us. He was not birthed into this world, okay? But since he was birthed into this world, now he becomes related to us.
Yes.
Okay? Now he becomes 100% human. Because the Melech Yahweh does a lot of things that a regular man can't do. Okay? But when he's birthed into the existence of man, now he becomes related to us and relatives of the human race, so therefore he has the right to redeem because he's a relative. Okay? Now, it says here, so then she tells her husband, and then she, her husband goes back, it says, the angel of the Lord, I'll say it, but Melech Yahweh answered, okay, your wife must do all that I told her. Meaning to do with the son. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine or drink any wine or other firmament drinks, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her. Manoah said to the, well, I'm going to say Manoah said to Melech Yahweh, we would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you. And Melech Yahweh replied, even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering and offer it to Yahweh, So Manoah did not realize that it was Melech Yahweh. This was Messenger Yahweh. And it says, then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, what is your name so that we may honor you when your words come true? And Melech Yahweh says, why do you ask my name, seeing that it is Pele, wonderful? Okay, so now we have to look at this word Pele, okay? Because Pele is a word that is talking directly about God. But we'll read about that in a little bit. Let's finish this story. Then Manoah took the young goat together with a grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. He sacrificed it to Yahweh. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. And a flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven. And Melech Yahweh ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell on their face to the ground. When Melech Yahweh did not show himself again, Manoah realized that it was Melech Yahweh. And he said, we are doomed, he said to his wife. We have seen God. Now, why did he say that? Because he says, if you see God face to face, you will surely die. Okay? Now, listen. This is true. But listen.
His wife.
His wife had to come to him and say, look, if he was going to kill us, he wouldn't have, you know, blessed me to have a child, and he wouldn't have taken our sacrifice, right? But understand, Manoah realized at that very moment, he didn't go, we've seen an angel.
Right.
He said, we've seen God. Because Manoah knows God don't take sacrifices. Angels don't take sacrifices. Angels don't take worship, right, and angels don't take sacrifices. So he knew, we just saw God. Now, there are other stories in the Bible concerning Melech Yahweh. Okay, Because Melech Yahweh comes one night while the Israelites are waiting in their camp for a war to happen. Melech Yahweh goes out and kills 180,000 of the enemy's troops in one night. When the Israelites wake up the next morning, they see 180,000 troops that have been killed by one person, Melech Yahweh. God killed 180,000 people overnight. The same God that was on the cross going, "Oh, I can't help it. Oh, you crucified me. Woo.
You got me.
Oh, you got me. Ah, you got me." And he's on the cross because he invented that cross, and he came to be on that cross. And it's like me with my nephew, and he's like, oh, you know, like me. Look, back then I was stronger than now, but I could bench press like 460, right? And I let my nephew, and he's pinning me down. He's like, "Stay down." And he pins me, and he goes, and I go, "Oh, you got me." And then he pinned me, and he goes, "I beat Uncle Sandy wrestling." And he bragged. But inside, I knew. And that was God, okay? That's God on the cross. I set up this day. I allowed me to be on the cross. You're doing what I'm telling you to do, okay? Amen. So understand, Melech Yahweh killed 180,000 troops in one night, and that's the same God, the same Jesus that was on the cross. Mm-hmm. So don't think that, you know, he couldn't come down, all right? Now, let's look at this, though. Let's look at this. Let's go to the board real fast, because I want to look at this messenger God thing, okay? Because I'm going to, if I don't have it here, oh, yeah, I do have it here, okay. So I won't have to. Okay, now check this out. Okay, now, you see here? This is the letter Aleph. You can write out, it's called a standard, so you can write out the word Aleph, and the numerical value of Aleph would be 111. Now, here's the word wonderful in Hebrew, and it's Peleg, okay? Numerical value 111. It's best, basically, is this word backwards, okay? So, Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew word which represents God, okay? So, Pele, wonderful, is God. Aleph is God. 111, okay? 111, Aleph. We could even do that, right? We could just say this is just three Alephs. This is just three. That's three God. That's God three times, okay? So here it is. Pele is not 1-1. It's 111. Getting back to this, he's a Trinity at all times, okay? 111 is God. 111 is Aleph. Pele, wonderful, is Pele. Listen to the scripture. Listen to the scripture. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful. Okay? Counselor. Okay, you know the word counselor? Word counselor is like a helper, right? Like like the Holy Spirit, you know? The helper, right? So his name will be called Wonderful, Pele. Counselor, the Mighty God, okay? He's El Shaddai, and his name will always be called the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Wow. Okay. So, the Son has some titles. First of all, he is wonderful, so he's God.
So it's not Wonderful Counselor.
He's not Wonderful Counselor. Please don't do that, because you don't take out the commas. He's wonderful, and he's counselor, and he's Mighty God. We don't say the Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's Mighty God, and he's the Everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. These are all his names that the Son, Yeshua, encompasses. Okay? Wonderful. So here's the angel of the Lord saying, why do you ask me my name, seeing that it is wonderful? He says, seeing that it is Pele. He's letting you know I'm the same God of Isaiah 9:6, who's going to become a son in the world, and the governments will be on my shoulder, and his name is also going to be called Wonderful. He's the same God that's taking your sacrifice today and going up to heaven in a flame.
Wow.
Okay? That son that is born into the world is the same God that killed 180,000 troops. Okay? So understand who Melech Yahweh is. All right. Now, it says here he's a mighty God and he's the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Okay, we can get into that. You know, Jesus already told them. He says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. How are you going to ask me, oh, show us the Father, and that will suffice? Talking to the apostles, right? Okay, so he's talking to the apostles, and the apostles say, hey, show us the Father, and that will suffice us. And Jesus says, have I not been among you so long, and you don't recognize me, the Father? Don't you know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and then when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? He said, or else at least believe by the miracles that you see that I am the Father. You know what I mean? Yeah. So Jesus is trying to explain to him. But the word Pele, wonderful, is all. Now, the other word that are in the scriptures, and I hope you're still looking in your book, because I want you to be on page 31, okay? We have not really gotten into gematria yet, but if the Bible blows your mind as the typologies and everything else, when you get into gematria, it just leaves your jaw just hanging. Like, why? You know what I mean? Like, why such preciseness? Why such perfection with numbers and letters? Why? Because God is perfect and his word is perfect. Okay?
Two things before you go back.
Yes.
If I may. Anne Landon in South Africa.
Yes.
Said that they're sending a sermon all around the Christian community in South Africa.
Praise God.
And
Anne Landon.
V-E-R-E-O-R, Lux. Angel of the Lord is God. Am I understanding that?
Well? Yes. Angel of the Lord is God. Angel in Hebrew is Benachai Elohim. Melech Yahweh is messenger Yahweh. He is God, the messenger. He is not an angel, okay? If he's an angel, he's in trouble because he's doing a lot of things that angels aren't allowed to do. And if he's taking sacrifices, and if he's allowing people to praise him, to bow down and worship him, he's into a lot of trouble because you can't work. And even in the book of Revelation, John tried to bow down and worship an angel. And the angel said, no, no, stand up. I'm a servant just like you. You're not getting me in trouble. Okay. But messenger Yahweh accepts worship and he accepts sacrifices. Okay. So I want you. And then Manoah perfectly recognized, oh, my God, we just saw God.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the word in Hebrew, Ihya Asher Ihya, I am that I am, has a numerical value of 543. Okay? Isaiah 7, chapter 14, it says this, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. His name Emmanuel is the same numerical value, 543, as I am that I am, Ihya Asher Ihya, which is God, right? Mm-hmm. Since God said, when he says, who shall we say sent us? Tell them, I am that I am sent you, 543. Then God says, this son that's going to be, his name will be Emmanuel, 543. So that means the great I am is also the son Emmanuel. Okay? So that's his name's Emmanuel. If you just take the name Emmanuel, okay, and you put the numerical value is 197, which is the same numerical value as God Most High. Okay? So you see what God is doing with the numerical values of the Bible? So that you don't be confused, he's going to also always make sure that the numerical values tell you the story of what he's trying to tell you. Okay?
So, the young lady from that asked a question, she's from Italy.
Okay.
Thank you. Her English is not perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
She's from Italy.
She's in Italy.
Okay. Which question did she...
She's the one that asked, she's the one, an angel of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. God. Yes, God. Yes. Okay. So now, the other thing is, so the word Emmanuel is 197, and it's the same Hebrew gematria for God Most High. So Emmanuel is God Most High. Okay? Amen. I am that I am is, his name is Emmanuel. Same person, okay? Because God doesn't want you to be confused that the Son is also God. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. You're still in your book on page 31, I hope. And it says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. Listen to what Jesus says in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 17. He says, John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he also says this. He says, I am the first and the last. And he, to make sure you know he's talking to, he says, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I am the first and the last. So he lets you know that the same Jesus that died on the cross is the first and the last. But wait a minute. The Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 44, God says, I am the first and the last, and besides me, there is no God. So if there's no other God but the first and the last, and Jesus is telling them, I am the first and the last, that means they're the same person.
Amen.
Okay? So we don't want to sit here, because I went through Islam, okay? You guys got to understand, the first thing they're going to teach you is that he was a great prophet. Do not think of Yeshua the way the white man told you. That's what they said. Don't think of Yeshua the way the white man told you. He's not God. He's just a prophet, but not greater than Muhammad. That's a lie from hell.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? First of all, he is a prophet, but he's more than a prophet. Okay? And he explains that. He's way more than a prophet. Okay? Now.
10 minutes, Pastor.
Okay, good. Now, let's see. I'm going to go down here. And it says, after Isaiah 9:6, which it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his head, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Okay, three of these titles for Jesus have no problem. We have no problem with Wonderful, which is God, Counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, Prince of Peace, because that's a whole nother. I don't want to get to, but there's a guy. And his name is called Melchizedek.
Oh, yeah.
And his name, he's called the King of Peace. Melchizedek is King of Peace. Okay? Prince of Peace is this son that's going to be born. And he is Shir Elohim. And he is also, okay, the Prince of Peace. So we have no problem with Jesus being the Prince of Peace. But when we say he's the mighty God, he's El Shaddai, then people want to have a problem. Or if we say he's the everlasting Father, people have a problem. But you have to understand that the Father of Jesus is himself. Listen, this is why the Trinity is so hard for people to understand. The Father is also the Son. And the scriptures let you know he is also the son that's going to be born is also the everlasting Father. That's weird. How can the Father be the Son? I guess with God, all things are possible. So I'm not asking any more questions. Okay. How can a child also be the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the believer of Yeshua? It is. I want to make this thing clear. Once again, we do not believe in three gods. We believe in one God, who has manifested himself three different ways. Go over to page 33, and we're going to save us a crazy question in heaven. You know, when Stephen looked up as he's being stoned, he said, I looked up and I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now,
you Jewish do there? You're going, very cool. Okay, if you're English and you translate that, you go, wow. So he looked up and he saw God here and he saw Jesus standing here. Wow, okay. Now, I want to read something, and this is from a Hebrew book, and I want you to understand this because there's original language and then there's English translation, okay? Okay, well, let me try to read this here. Okay, the psalmist confirms this when he says in Psalm 16, verse 8, okay, and 11, he says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Now, Jesus is the one who is speaking here in this Psalm 116, verse 8 and verse 11. Jesus says in this verse, I have set the Lord, God, okay, before me. And he says, he is at my right hand. Wait a minute. If Jesus is at God's right hand, can God be at Jesus's right hand? Let me see if we can do this. Let's see. This is my right hand. If you stand next to me, won't you be at my, won't that be your left hand? Right? Okay, so it's kind of hard, difficult to do, right? So this is the thing. Now, and this is why God wanted me to study Hebrew. He's like, the confusion is in the language, okay? Now watch this. In the book, okay? Okay, it says, it says, in the presence, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You hear that? So he says, in the presence of the, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Okay, so what does the right hand mean? Okay, from the book called Hebrew for Dummies, which I hate that title because Hebrew is never not for dummies. Hebrews for Dummies. But on page 231, I took this page out. Okay, on page 231, we find that there is no right or left in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. They don't consider right and left to be words. Okay. Okay, so in the Hebrew language, there's no right or left in Hebrew. Instead, you have Bezad Yamim, which means in his strength. That's right hand. Yamim, okay? Ben Yamim, son of my right hand, right? Mm-hmm. Son in my strength, at my side, in righteousness with me. Yeah. Understand? Yeah. So Bezad Yamim means in his strength. Besides smol, which is left-handed, means in darkness. So they use the word in his strength and in communion with God, meaning right hand, and they use the word smol or in darkness to be the left hand. But there's no such thing as right and left, okay?
The Kingdom Crossing wants to know, has a question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was he talking to himself?
That is when you get into the understanding that he is fulfilling prophecy, okay? Is he talking to himself? He is most definitely talking to himself, okay? But remember, the Messiah has to fulfill prophecy. So now, if I say, why would he say that on the cross? We have to go all the way back to Psalms chapter 22. And in Psalms chapter 22 starts off how? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. It starts off as, my God, why have you forsaken me? In Psalms chapter 22, remember when Yeshua comes into existence, he has to fulfill all prophecy. That's the only thing that gives him credibility 100% as being the Messiah. So that very verse is what is prophesied that he will say on the cross. It doesn't mean that he's not God. It just means that now that body that's on the cross, that physical body, that's Jesus' body, but it is flawed. It has the ability to die. Okay? So
We have to understand God created a body, okay? In that body, he put himself, okay? And when he put himself in that body, was he still in heaven? Yes. Remember the time I did the example? I had water, and I bought another cup, looked different. I poured some water from this jug into that jug, and I said, now you go to earth. And I said, now, is there water still here?
Yes. Yes.
God is still here. Is God still there? Yes. This is why God says, I am the living water.
Yeah.
You understand? Because water is the only substance that can be everywhere, satisfy everyone's thirst, and still be from the same substance and have the same strength.
Yes.
And that's why God says he is the living water. He has the ability to quench your thirst in California, quench your thirst in Africa, quench your thirst, and it's still the same water.
Same water.
Okay? So God can be in heaven, and God can be on earth because he is the living water. Okay?
5 minutes back.
So here we go. So there's no right or left in heaven. When you get to heaven, listen, look what happened with John in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. It says, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it was slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent out into the earth. Okay? So now, in the midst of the throne, okay? Now, in chapter 3, verse 21, it says, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Did he sit down with his Father on a throne next to his, or did he sit down with his Father on his throne? God said, when Jesus got to heaven, he sat on the same throne that his Father is on. When John gets to heaven, he doesn't see two thrones. That's weird. Okay? If you believe there's two thrones in heaven, when John gets to heaven, he doesn't see two thrones in Revelation chapter 4. He sees one throne and God sitting upon the one throne, okay? But Jesus is back in Bitsad Yamim. He's back in right standing. He's back in his strength. He's back in oneness with God. When the Holy Spirit goes back to heaven, he's going to go back into oneness with God. Okay? And then we will see that there is not three gods. We'll see that there is one God, and that one God sits on one throne in heaven. Okay? Now, I think that is it for this, but I wanted you to definitely understand that. Okay? Only Christians believe that Jesus Christ is God. And if you run into a cult, the first thing they're going to tell you is, do you believe, that Jesus Christ is not God? And it is the one thing that separates true believers from people who do not understand who God is. Because if you confess, you must confess that Jesus is God. It says you must confess that Jesus is Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does not say you must confess that Jesus is an angel. You must not confess that Jesus is a prophet. It says if you come to Christ, you must confess that Jesus is Lord, okay? That he is, well, in the Greek, I forget the word for theos, yeah. That he is theos, that he is God. Okay, the confession is not that he is an angel. The confession is not that he's a mighty man, a messenger from God. He is, you must confess that Jesus is God. Okay? So you have to understand the same God. Now, how much time I got? Am I out? 2 minutes. Okay. In Genesis chapter 22, you guys were in here. You guys were here for Abraham the movie, right? What does Abraham say about God when the son says, hey, we have everything that we need for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb? In Hebrew, what does God say? What does he? He says in Hebrew, I will appear myself in the future as a lamb. He says, I will yiro alo. I will appear myself as the lamb. Okay? So God in Genesis is telling you, I'm going to come as the lamb. If you read it in Hebrew, if you read it in English, he's going to say, oh, God will provide a lamb.
See how English messes you up? Because if you study that in just English, you'll go, wait a minute, I don't see the word provide here anywhere. It says here, yiro'ah. What does yiro'ah mean? It's a the yod in the as a prefix on the word to see or to appear. So it throws it into the future. He says, he will appear himself as the holah offering, as the sacrifice offering. Okay, so that is it. And you have all of the studies that you can go back to from the beginning of this book, which begins with Joseph the movie, Bereshit, Hosea, Esther and Germany, the connection, Jesus the door, the proven Trinity, and Moses the movie. And then we're going to give you the test this week, and you're responsible for some questions from each one of those studies. So look at them, make sure they get ingrained into you as you continue to work through your Hebrew book. And you say, it's hard now. I've got to study for a test and do my Hebrew book. Nobody said it would be easy, right? Okay, praise the Lord. So let's pray out because we're going to get the test out to you this week. And we're going to get started. I hope everybody is ready to take this test. And if you've done homework and sent in homework, you'll be able to use some of that homework. If you missed a question or so, you can add that some homework stuff and get credit for your homework. So let's pray out. And here's the prayer. God said to Moses, when you are with my people, or when you greet my people, I want you to bless them and say to them, says the Lord, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yair Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yaseh Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasim l'chai shalom. Okay. Leidriot, Bishavu Chabah.